Burned, Pyromania, Murder, and A Daughter's Nightmare by Frank C. Giraudeau, Jr. and Lori Orr Kovac. I wasn't getting any work done. I was bent over my desk with my ear to the radio, waiting for the verdict. I kept the volume low so no one else would hear. My boss, Susie Thompson, who was also a very good friend, knew about my dad and what I was waiting for. Finally, at almost 5 p.m., I heard a news reporter say the verdict was in.
Guilty of 4 murders.
What? This whole time, I assumed my dad was on trial for arson. He only allowed me to attend 2 days of the trial, and he picked the days. I was stunned. I put my head down on my desk and cried. My heart was so heavy. So many things went through my head. He will never walk me down the aisle, know my children, or celebrate Father's Day with me. I just lost my dad for the second time. An excerpt from Confessions of a Mother Inferior by Erica Waller. Getting my daughters in the car is like one of those mathematical riddles about crossing a river with a wolf, a goat, and a cabbage. This is not a simile for how I see my children. I, the boat, can only carry one passenger at a time. If I leave the wolf and the goat alone together, the wolf will eat the goat. If I leave the goat and the cabbage alone together, the goat will eat the cabbage, and so on and so forth. So, instead, I'm a one-woman circus act, balancing lunchboxes and ballet kits and school bags on my head, running in and out of the house, growing redder and angrier each time. All I need is the Benny Hill theme tune playing in the background and a Charlie Chaplin mustache, which reminds me, I must remove my facial hair. This is from Forgotten by Kelly Owen. A battered woman, so filthy it was hard to tell if she were brunette or just dirty, lay crumpled in a heap behind the door. Her fingers were bloodied. Her face was smeared with both blood and dirt. Her clothes had once been nice, but now were almost unsalvageable in their mud and grass stains, let alone the visible rips and tears. She looked beaten, attacked, and dead.
Oh my, is she? Who would leave a dead woman here?
Millie covered her mouth in a movement of polite shock.
She might not be.
Stanley leaned down and reached for the woman.
No!
Millie snapped out of her state of shock and grabbed the middle-aged man's shoulder.
Don't touch her! You cannot touch her!
He turned and looked up at her, eyes furrowed in an unspoken question.
Your fingerprints can't be on that woman's body!
In the House of the Wolf, Seraphim Book 1, by R.J. Eliason.
She thinks she's one of those wild shield maidens of the far north,
Domus joked.
Aye, come and try me, if you dare, she challenged.
He brought his practice sword to guard, and she came at him faster than he would have expected. She drove him back 3 steps before he deflected her blade and grabbed her arm, pulling her to his chest and placing his blade across her neck.
Fast! I will give you that,
he said.
But no shield maiden yet, my lady.
She gave him a heated look and then broke from his grasp. She knocked his sword aside and jabbed the point of hers at his chest.
Maybe someday I'll have your heart, Sir Domus.
You already do,
he thought. But Benjamin was there watching, and all Domus could say was,
maybe, my lady.
Youngin Blues, The Story of Reed and Rakim by Mercy B.
Silent tears and low cries were heard through the church as she marched alone, no accomplice. With an absentee father and mother, the bride barely had anyone to share her glorious moment with. Family was few, but her day was to be grand nonetheless. The small family that she'd acquired over the years were enough. Besides, she was marrying the man of her dreams, and nothing more mattered at the time. Looking ahead, she became teary-eyed. Rakim was like a dream come true. With everything that had been thrown in her path, she'd never considered the thought of loving someone so special. Not only was he special to her, but to everyone that he encountered. A boss in his own right, that damn man was a surefire, and she couldn't get enough of him.